Hi there, welcome to our YouTube channel, Wholesome Sexuality. As you know, this page is here to help people in the area of sex, especially Christians, really. But hey, you know, sex covers everybody. So today, I'm talking about 25 wrong mindsets that Christians have about sex. 25 wrong mindsets that Christians have about sex. So hey, hope you're not the kind of person that is shy to talk about sex, because this page is going to be talking about sex all through. So I felt it's ideal to start with the mindsets. If we can deal with the mindsets, it becomes easier to deal with other things. All right. So before we start today, if you're not following us on social media, please go follow us on all platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everything possible. And if you're here on YouTube, please subscribe now. Now, as you're watching, just subscribe now. Trust me. This is a channel you want to be subscribed to, because to bring you a lot of wholesome material. And don't forget, we also have our other relationship channels, Kingsley Okonkwo, Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo, LDM with PK, and other channels that are affiliated with us that deal with other relationship and family life issues. All right, so 25 wrong mindsets that Christians have about sex. Number one, I'm going to be as fast as I can. Number one, some people believe that sex is dirty. So, number one, sex is dirty. It's a wrong mindset. You know, some people believe sex is dirty. This is why people generally, especially in Christian settings, shy away from talking about sex. Sex is like a taboo word. It's like a forbidden word. I mean, and it doesn't just start in church. Even as children, sex is the last thing parents want to discuss with their children. I'm telling you, it's the most awkward discussion ever. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You don't even want to think your children are thinking about sex. But I was shocked today. My 8-year-old or 6-year-old, I can't remember now. Okay, she was about seven then, asked me about the F word. I was wondering if it was F as in cutlery, or if it's the real F word. But it was the real F word at 6 or 7 years old. So I was shocked. I stammered a bit, but I found a way to escape. But the point is that, you know, we generally shy away from talking about sex from childhood to adulthood to Christians especially. So hey, the reason why we do that is because we see sex as dirty. And the truth is that sex is not dirty. It is the world that has painted that image to us. It is the general perception that sex is dirty. It's not dirty. Sex is a beautiful thing. Some people are going to see a page like this and be like, oh, why is even a pastor talking about sex? Why is they doing a page on sex? Listen, it's important. It's a major part of human life, and it's not dirty. It was created by God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God, meaning that anything that God made is good and perfect. So sex is not dirty. It's a beautiful thing. It's meant to be enjoyed and not endured. It's a beautiful thing. It's God that made it is actually holy. It's not dirty. It is holy. It is clean. It's a beautiful thing. All right? So that's the first wrong mindset that Christians have. Is that sex is dirty. I've even seen some preachers, when they want to talk about sex, they come down from the altar. They say, I can't talk about sex from the altar. And I'm laughing. Where are you going to talk about sex? This is why pornography is teaching our generation about sex. Blogs and co. and talk shows are teaching the generation about sex, telling them it's okay to have sex anyhow you like. Because we that should know about sex, know more about sex. We that were in touch with the creator of sex are ashamed to talk about it. Listen, everything God made is good and perfect. If God made sex, sex is clean, sex is holy, sex is beautiful, all right? It can't be dirty. It's the way some people are using it that is dirty. But sex is holy and it's not dirty, all right? So that's first wrong mindset that Christians have, that sex is dirty. So hey, if you're married, it's okay to talk about sex. If you're in church, it's okay to talk about sex. In fact, we in church should be talking about sex more than the guys out there on the street, all right? So sex is not dirty. Number two, wrong mindset that people Number two, wrong mindset that people have about sex is that sex is just for procreation and is not for pleasure. That is purely for procreation. That I don't want to say what's coming to my mind. But there's some people that, you know, they say, Mama, can you don't talk to me? No sex until we want to have our second child. This is the mindset some people have. They have the mindset that sex is purely for procreation and not for pleasure. So they actually leave sex off till, you know, we are ready to make babies. We're ready to have children. That's the purpose God created sex. That's not true at all. You see, these are wrong mindsets. There's no scriptural backing for that. Even though procreation is one of the major purposes of sex, but it's definitely not the only purpose of sex. And I'll show you from scripture just for those that want to know. Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs 5 from verse 15. It says, drink waters out of thy own cistern. Cistern is like a place to store water. So drink water out of your own container, basically. It says, and running waters out of thy own well. It says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. He said, let them be only thy own and not strangers with thee. He said, let your fountains be blessed. So they are equating sex with drinking water, thirst. Thirst is a natural need. That's how sex is a natural need. And the way water quenches thirst, sex also quenches that thirst in humans. Now, let me finish. It says, verse 18 now, it said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Just in case you didn't know this scripture was about sex today, they came down to it. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. See verse 19. It said, let her be as the loving hind and as a pleasant roe. It said, let her breasts satisfy thee at all times and be thou ravished with her love. Say, let her breast. You see, scripture is talking about sex. But we were shy. The Bible talks about it. If you go to Songs of Solomon, those ones, that one is even explicit. I don't even want to go there today. It's explicit. You know, it said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. So the breast is not only going to satisfy the baby or for children, it's also going to satisfy your husband or your wife. So basically what they're saying is that sex satisfies. In fact, one version says, be ravished with her love. Another one said, be exhilarated with her love. One said, be captivated, you know, with her love, you know. So one said, be intoxicated. I like that one. Be intoxicated with love. So they are saying that sexual pleasure can be intoxicating. And sex is for pleasure also. It's not just for procreation. It's a wrong mindset. So that means if you're a married couple, beyond having kids, you are meant to enjoy sex. I've heard of a couple that have sex only once in 2 years, only when they want to have children. That is shameful. That is bad. All right? Sex is for pleasure. Sex is for release. Maybe one of these days we'll do a video on the purposes of sex. Sex gives you emotional release, physical release, mental release. There are so many scientific studies that have shown the benefits of sex, how it can help you live longer, live better, be more mentally alert and all that. So please, it's not just for procreation, it is also for pleasure. A man and a woman that are married in the confines of marriage are meant to enjoy their sexuality. All right, so number three wrong mindset Christians have is that we will have great sex automatically because we love each other. All right? That because we love each other, we will have great sex automatically. That doesn't happen. Even though love is very good, it helps sex. But just because both of you are in love doesn't mean you will have great sex automatically. Great sex requires intentionality. So both of you have to learn about sex. You have to explore each other's body and you have to communicate a lot before, during, and after the act. I'll say that again. You have to communicate a lot to have great sex. Just because we love each other, just because we both have good intentions, we are both good Christians, we pray in tongues, we worship the Lord, we're going to have great sex because the Lord says so. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You both have to learn about sex and learn about each other. Somebody's saying, but where are we going to learn about sex? You're on the right page. Subscribe. You know, you're going to learn about, and there are a lot of other good materials out there. So you're going to learn about sex. You're going to learn about each other's body. You're going to explore each other. You're going to communicate before, during, and after sex. That's how to have great sex. It's not going to happen automatically because you're good Christians or because you're both good, because you're both, we all love each other. No, you have to learn about sex. All right. All right. Point number four. This one too is funny. Some people say nobody's having great sex. That sex is just a chore. It's just a duty. That nobody's having great sex. Nobody's enjoying sex. That is not true. And I've heard counselors say this. So this is why we're addressing this thing. It's not just for fun. I've heard counselors give this kind of advice, telling a couple that, hey, you don't have to enjoy sex. You know, it's just your duty. Just do your duty. No. Like I told you earlier on, there's pleasure in this thing. You are meant to enjoy it. You are meant to enjoy sex. That's the truth. God created it. I didn't create it. God created it. You didn't create it. The blogs and coding created it. God created it. You know, so God created it. So it's meant to be pleasure. You are meant to enjoy it. If you are not enjoying it, please seek help. Like I said earlier on, we are currently doing some free counseling sessions along the lines of sex with our sexologists in-house. So please, it's still free for now. So take advantage of it. If you guys want to spice up your sex life, want to talk about how to make it better, you'll get free coaching and free counseling. And everything is super confidential, don't forget. So please, you are meant to enjoy it. If you're not enjoying sex, something is wrong. All right, don't put it under the carpet. It can cause a bigger problem in the future. All right, so don't have the mindset that people are not enjoying sex. We are many that are enjoying sex. If you know, you know. We are many that are enjoying sex. So I'm enjoying my sex life, and I've been married for going on about 17 or so years now. And trust me, it's still way up there. All right. So hey, you are meant to enjoy sex. Don't listen to people saying that nobody's enjoying sex. That's not true. We are many that are enjoying sex. Number five is that sex is not that important. You know, it's not, you know, there are always people that minimize everything. Listen, everything God does is important. You know, there are people that minimize, oh, you don't need to pray in tongues, it's not important. Oh, you don't need to go to church, it's not important. Oh, you don't, look, whatever God gives you, whatever God has made is important. That's what I discovered. God didn't make anything that is not important. All right, so if God created sex, there are probably a lot of important things about sex. So sex is important. Those of you that have watched my video on what nobody tells you about sex, you understand better. Sex helps bonding between a couple. Sex helps to release pressure. Sex also helps to, you know, create fondness between a couple. You know, sex brings pleasure. There's so much benefits to sex. There's so much benefit. It's difficult to continuously have quarrels in your marriage if the sex life is going on. All right. As counselors, one of the things we do when a couple is having a lot of fights, we ask about their sex life. People don't realize how sex affects every other thing. We've counseled some couples sometimes, and they are talking about different things. And by the time we go to sex, you find out that all the grouchy feelings, all the resentment, all the fight is because somebody is not satisfied in the bed. So once we address the bed, you find out that things level up easier. All right, so sex is important. It's very, 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 very important. So don't minimize it. There are people that are just trying to minimize, oh, sex is not important. It's not food. It's not this. But you saw it being compared to water. They didn't even compare it to food. They compared it to water. I hope you know water ranks higher than food. You can live longer without water. You can live longer without food than you can do without water. All right, water is an essential. And the Bible here, like we read in Proverbs 5, compares water with sex. So it is important. Don't let anybody tell you it's not important. It's an important part. So when you do good premarital counseling, for instance, there will be a proper class on sex. We run something like that. And we have books we've forwarded and all that along those lines also. Talking about premarital sex. So it's important. So please don't just take it. I'm talking about sex, you know, as from premarital counseling. So don't just take it lightly that, oh, sex is not important. If God made it, then it is important. All right.